you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, April 22nd, 2024. Today we're going to hear an honest, heartfelt story from Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. And we're going to learn about trusting God when it feels like nothing is working out for you. Here's Pastor Rick Warren on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
How do I go through struggles in my life, particularly when I'm struggling with God, when I'm angry at God, when I'm mad at God, when I'm disappointed with God, when I think God has let me down, when I've prayed and haven't got an answer? That's called a struggle, friends. I've gone through that struggle for years with a son who was mentally ill and then took his life. And I prayed for that healing every single day of my life. It was a struggle in my life. How do I deal with that? What should be my response to God who did not answer that prayer? Now, you need to understand that the reason, the only reason you can wrestle with God, as I said, it's because God loves it and God loves you. God is not an apathetic God who just sets the world in motion and doesn't care about how you feel. He cares deeply about how you feel. And he loves you and he cares about you and he's sympathetic and he's not apathetic and he's not detached. In fact, the Bible says that 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares, that's worries, on him because he cares for you. God is a caring God. And if God didn't care about you, you couldn't wrestle with him. You couldn't struggle with him. You couldn't argue with him. The very fact that God allows you to argue with him, and it's all through the Bible, examples of this, is because God cares, because God loves you. When I'm in a struggle with God, when my prayers aren't being answered, the first thing I do is this. Number one, tell God what I think is unfair or painful. I tell God what I think is unfair or painful. This is the start of a lament. I'm going to teach you a form of praying that most Christians have no idea how to do. They only know how to do praise and thanksgiving. But this is how you argue with God. You tell God what you think is unfair or painful. Now, remember I said last week that a lament is actually a complaint. In fact, sometimes when you read them in Psalms, it almost feels like a demand. Do something, God. Do something. Now, I've given you some examples there that you can study on your own. I'm going to read you a few out of the Bible. Okay, listen to this one. Here's from Job. Job chapter 13. I've lost all hope, so what if God kills me? I'm going to state my case to him. Now listen to my words, God of explanation. I'm ready to state my case because I know I'm right. Are you coming to excuse me, God? Speak first, God, and I'll answer. Or let me speak and you can answer me. What are my sins? What wrong have I done? What crimes have I charged with? Why do you avoid me? Why do you treat me like an enemy? Are you trying to frighten me? I'm nothing but a leaf. You're attacking me like a piece of dry straw. That's a lament. I doubt you've ever talked to God that way, but it's in the Bible, and that's called a prayer of lament. Let me give you a couple of others. Here's David. How long, Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with the anguish in my soul, with the sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemies have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O God. I trust in your unfailing love. See what a rapid change that is there at the end? We'll come back. He just followed the pattern I just gave you. Here's Jeremiah. Lord, if I argued my case with you, you'd prove to be right. Yet, still, I must question you about matters of justice. Why are the wicked so prosperous? Why do dishonest people succeed? They don't really care about you. But Lord, you know me. You see what I do. You know how much I love you. How long will our land be dry? Animals and birds are dying because of the wickedness of our people who think you don't really see what we're doing. See, hear the complaint in his voice? That's an act of worship. Complaining about God is rebellion. Complaining to God is an act of worship. Here's one named He-Man. Psalm 88. My life is full of trouble and I'm nearly dead. This is a prayer to God. I'm like a man with no strength. You have taken my friends away from me and made them hate me. Psalm 88. My eyes are weak from crying. Lord, I've prayed to you every day and I've called to you for help. Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you hide from me? I've been weak and dying since I was young. You've taken away my loved ones and friends, and darkness is my only friend. Let me just give you one more. A guy named Jehoshaphat, nicknamed Fatty for short, I'm sure. 2 Chronicles 20. He's the king of Israel, and three enemy armies decide to gang up against Israel. They're going to be overwhelmed. They're going to be killed. And here's what Jehoshaphat does. Oh, Lord, are you not the God who is in heaven? You roll over all the kingdoms of the nation. Power and might are in your hand. No can withstand you. And, oh God, did you not give us this land forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? But now three nations are trying to drive us out. Oh God, will you not judge them? For we don't have any power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Those three questions. God, he says, are you not God, did you not, and God, will you not? He is talking about the pattern I'm giving you right now. He's appealing to the character of God. He's reminding God of his promises, and he's asking God to do it again. That's how you do a lament. So the first thing I do is I tell God what I think is unfair or painful. Let me give you an example here. Psalm 142 on your outline, David says, I call to the Lord for help. I plead with him. I bring all of my complaints to him. I tell him my troubles. When I'm ready to give up, he knows what I should do. Now, in a lament, the tone can be very different. You can lament out of anger, like some of these I just read. You can lament out of frustration. You can lament out of fatigue. God, I am so tired, and I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You can lament out of anger. You can lament out of disappointment. You can lament out of fear. I'm scared to death. God, help me. I don't know what's going to happen this week, and I'm scared to death. Help. Let me just ask you a very personal question. What are you tired of tolerating in your life? Whatever that is, you're tired of tolerating it. You've been putting up with it. You're tired. You need to turn that into a lament. You need to tell God what you think is unfair, or what you think is painful. Now, here is the key, and you got to get this or it won't work. There are two keys to praying like I'm talking about right now when you're struggling with God. One of them is you complain to God, not about God, not against God. This is there. When Moses complained to God, God answered. When the people, children of Israel complained, they got stuck in the desert. So there's a right way and a wrong way to complain to God. What's the right way? You do it in faith. Here's an example, Psalm 55:17. David says, evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan. Notice he says, I'm doing it three times a day. I'm complaining to God three times a day. Notice, and he hears my voice. That is complaining in faith. That's lamenting in faith. I tell God what I think is unfair or painful in my life. Here's the second thing you do. If you want to struggle with God and win, you want to struggle with God and be blessed the way Jacob was, I appeal to God's nature. That's A in care. I appeal to God's nature. And when you read the Psalms, you read David and other people complaining to God and at the same time saying, but you're a good God, and you're a loving God, and God, you're kind, and God, you're fair. And I don't like what's going on, but God, you see everything, and this isn't good for me, but God, you're all powerful, so then help me. He appeals to God's nature. God loves it when you do this. When you say, God, you know I'm out of work. God, you know I'm infertile. God, you know I want to get married. God, you know, and then you say, and I know who you are, God. I know you're a good God, and I know you love me, and I know you're a just God, and I know you're fair, and I know you see everything in my life, and I know you're all powerful, and you appeal to the character of God. It's a strong key to doing this. I put some more examples down there. Abraham, he's arguing with God over Sodom and Gomorrah. He appeals to God, you're a fair God. Moses complains to God, and he appeals to God's nature. David does it. Hezekiah does it. What a lot of these guys are doing is they say, God, I look out and I see everything's going on, and nothing's really working right. Nothing's working right in my nation. Nothing's working right in my family. Nothing's working right in my job. And God, when I read the Bible and I hear about you're good and you're loving and you're powerful, then what, help me with this. Help me. What's happening to me doesn't sound like something you approve of. Are you not the great God? Did you not help people in the past? Will you not help me? The same three things Jehoshaphat said. I appeal to God's nature. The third thing you do, if you want to win the struggle, I remind God of what he said. I remind God of what he has said in his word. I remind him of his promises. God absolutely loves to be reminded of his promises. When my kids were little and they'd say, Daddy, would you take us to Disneyland? I'd say, oh, sure, I will. Because I always say yes to everything. And then I never get around to doing it. But Daddy, you promised. Daddy, you promised. You think I'm going to turn that down? No way, Jose, because I made a promise. So I'm going to keep a promise because I'm a loving father. I may not have the time to do it. I may not want to do it. I may be so stinking sick of going to Disneyland, but we're doing it because you promised. You can do that with your heavenly father. You remind God of what he said. God, you said. I love it. Several times in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah goes, God, now you've promised to do this, and you've promised to do this, and you've promised to do this. If you don't do this, you're going to look bad. He is appealing to God's reputation. And that's not just Jeremiah. I could give you dozens of examples. I said, God, if you don't help us in this time, it's really going to look bad on your resume. People are going to start saying, well, that God's no God because he doesn't help his people. And they would appeal to God's promises. They would appeal. They would remind God of what he had said. This is exactly what Jacob did. He's scared to death to go back home to have this family reunion with his brother who wants to kill him. Would you be scared? And your brother, you've cheated your brother and he's coming with 400 armed soldiers? Yeah. Yeah, he's scared to death. So you got to help me, God. Genesis 32. Then Jacob prayed, O Lord of my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac. Why is he doing this? He goes, look, you helped these people in the past. Surely you got to help me. He says, the God of my grandfather Abraham, and the God of my father Isaac, you told me, circle that, you told me to return to my land and my relatives. And you promised, circle that, to treat me kindly. I'm not worthy of all the faithfulness and unfailing love that you give me, but, oh Lord, please rescue me from my brother, Esau. I'm afraid that he's coming to kill me. But you promised to treat me kindly and to multiply my descendants. In other words, how am I going to have multiple descendants and be the father of a great nation if he kills me? That isn't going to happen. So see the care here? I complain, I appeal, I remind God of what he said. And then the fourth thing I do in my lament is I express my total trust in God. When you see David's Psalms, David, almost every Psalm ends with, no matter how much he's railed on God, he goes, but I'm still going to trust you. God, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and that didn't turn out the way I wanted, and that hasn't happened right, and my life hasn't really been a bed of roses, but, you know, God, I'm still going to trust you. And I expressed my total trust in God, and this is what you end your prayer with. You say, Lord, I trust your goodness, and I trust your wisdom, and I trust your love, and I trust your plan, even in the bad things that happen that I don't understand. Let me give you two examples. Job 13, 15. You know what happened in Job? He lost it all. He says, even though he, talking about God, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. He says, you know what? I don't have it all figured out. My brain isn't big enough to know why everything happens the way it does. But I tell you what, even if God kills me, I'm still going to trust him. Why? Because I know I'm going to heaven. So he says, even if he lets the cancer take my life, even if he lets me get hit in a car accident, I'm still going to trust him. Why? Because he is God and I'm not. I express my total trust in God. And the ultimate example, this is Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop falls, it fails, and the fields lie empty and are barren, and even though the flocks die in the field, and the cattle in the barns are empty, the cattle barns are empty. I mean, they're in a terrible drought, terrible depression. Yet, I will still rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. Now you listen to me very closely. The way you win a fight with God is by surrendering. Because there's no way you're going to win it on your own power. The way you win a struggle with God is by surrendering. We're going to talk about that next week. I surrender all my unanswered questions. And in return, I get the blessing of God on my life. And I sense his presence. And I feel his love. And I know he cares. And I depend on him. And he gives me comfort and he gives me power that I don't have on my own. The only way you're going to win in the struggle of life is give up control. The most dangerous disease you can have is the illusion that you're in control. You're not. And as long as you think you are, you're going to have one struggle after another. You're not in control of your marriage. You're not in control of your kids. You're not in control of the weather. You're not in control of the economy. You're not even in control of what kind of disease you get in your life. The greatest things in your life are out of your control. So what do I do about the stuff that's in control? I give them to a person who does have the power to control them. God, you're in control. And I know you care. And because you care, I'm going to complain. And I'm going to appeal, and I'm going to remind you of your promises, but I'm going to expect and entrust, and I'm going to express my trust in you. And I'm going to declare my declaration of dependence. The last of the story of Jacob ends in verse 31 of Genesis 32. It says this, sun rose as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Do you remember when they were in that wrestling match? It says that God reached over and touched his hip and pulled it out of socket. What is the significance? What's the symbolism in that? Your thigh muscle is the strongest muscle in your body. It's the biggest muscle, and it's the strongest muscle in your body. God is going to touch you at the place of your greatest strength. So you're going to limp the rest of your life as a reminder to depend on him, not your own strength. Jacob had a history of running. He ran from responsibility. He ran from the messes he made. He ran from the struggles he created. He ran. He constantly ran. God said, we'll fix that. You're going to limp the rest of your life. No more running for Jacob. What have you been running from your entire life? See, after you've wrestled with God, he blesses you. But he gives you a reminder to depend on him the rest of your life, and you're going to walk with the limp the rest of your life. All of God's giants walk with the limp. Let's bow our heads. Before I pray, Let me ask you to consider some questions. In what areas are you struggling with God? Are you struggling with God about your finances? Are you struggling with God about your health? Are you struggling with God about an unrealized dream, an unanswered prayer? Are you struggling with God about something that hasn't turned out the way you wanted it to turn out? Question number two. Where have you been afraid to give up control? You say, look, it isn't working. I've been trying to manipulate it. I've been trying to make it happen. I've been trying to plan it, program it, work around, scheme. It isn't working. I'm going to give up control to God. Question number three. Where have you doubted God's wisdom? Where you thought, no, I know you love me, Lord, but is this really the right thing? Is this really the right thing to do? Did you really say no sex outside of marriage? And you've doubted God's wisdom? Did you really say, and you name your sin, where do you need to admit what you really are? What do you need to admit about yourself? When you can say to God, God, I am Jacob. I am a manipulator. God, I am a control nut. I am a perfectionist. I am lazy. I am. Then God can turn a Jacob into an Israel, into a prince of God, a princess of God. Follow me in this prayer as we close. And I want you to pray it no matter what campus you're in, or if you're watching online or in a small group or by yourself. Just say, dear God, you know all the things I struggle with, my fears, my weaknesses, my relationships. You know the regrets I struggle with. You know my addictions and compulsions and my temptations. And God, today I've realized that all my other struggles are really rooted in my struggle with you. I have doubted your wisdom, and I have tried to play God. And like Jacob, I've tried to manipulate things to feel more secure. And I realize that your blessing comes not from trying harder, but in surrendering the things that I don't understand, and in surrendering the things that I can't control to you. Thank you that you are a good God. Teach me to how to pray the prayer of lament. I thank you, God, that you care. And you said, cast your cares on you, for you care for me. So today, Jesus Christ, I give myself 100% to you. The good, the bad, the ugly, the disappointments, the shocks, the sorrows, the highs and the lows, the good and the bad. I give myself completely to you, Jesus Christ. I want you to be the Lord, the manager of every area of my life. And I want to live for you from this day forward. I want to trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Learning about prayers of lament. Complaining to God is an act of worship. Complaining about God is rebellion. God's character is true and perfect. He loves you and he delights in answering your prayers. Remember God's promises and ask God to do it again. He's answered prayers in the past and he delights to answer prayers today. Appeal to his nature, which is good. And probably the most important takeaway for me is the way you win a fight or struggle with God is by surrendering. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.